Welcome to the firm, episode 5.
5, we got there.
Yeah, I'm terribly hungover. We started a game at 7 a.m. because I have work today. That'll be a good idea.
Yeah, like last night it seemed like a very good idea, and this morning, waking up at like 6:30 to get the table ready, I was like, fuck, this is such a bad idea.
Yeah, and I woke up this morning, my blood was boiling from half a bottle of whiskey, and I was just like, oh god, what am I doing? How did it come to the... I think the only thing that got any relief from is when I texted you going, do you already have all my Guild Ball stuff? If my team and Dyke Fane went, yeah, coffee. It just here now. The eternal setup. Yeah, on the episode, me and Alex we're trying to have a game, because Vengeance is over with now, the dust has settled, everyone come home, and, like, I need to find new references other than Highlander.
Yeah. Listening back, we do talk a lot about The Matrix and Highlander.
I talk about I won't drag you into that. I won't make that your fault. Alex, why do you love Highlander so much? No, but that whole thing of, like, I kind of didn't go to Vengeance, so I feel like you've returned home, and we've both got the corpse out. I'm going, all right, okay. Let's see what you've learned at Vengeance. And we both decided to go back to our very first team. You're a fisherman guy?
Yeah, so going back to the first teams, we were thinking that we've been playing our same sixes, like Ryan's Hunters and my fish, for quite a while now. You know, it's a fair couple of months that we've been sort of working on them as our core teams. And we thought it'd be interesting to see how, like, sort of our progression translates back to the first teams we picked up.
Yeah.
And my first team was a shark lineup. It was shark, siren, angel, grayscales, salt, and then instead of kraken, because then that would be the first fisherman box, I dropped him for Sicana, which makes the entire team looking for 3-0. You aren't going to get anything apart from you aren't going to get a win out of anything other than 3-0. I don't think.
Yeah. I think one of the moments that I had a much better time against your original lineup, even when I was playing my hunting team, it kind of like a knock-on effect to him anyway, knowing you can't go for as many kills, or a kill really. Like, when you're attacking, because you don't want to give up your valuable momentum, usually just dodging.
Yeah.
And it put me in a space where I had like a moment where I went, wait a minute, not only killing me hard on a team, it means you're never going to go for it. So I don't have to all of a sudden go, you know what, I don't have to worry about the kill, I don't have to worry about losing momentum, if I can just negate the counterattack and stop you from getting a double dodge and fucking off. For the most part, it's not too bad for that. It frees up a lot of mental space for me to go, okay, I can kind of wail on you at will.
Yeah, yeah. Because you aren't even factoring in the fact that a takeout could
Come back the other way. I don't even have to worry too much about positioning, really. And it frees me up to go, okay, not only can I kill at will, I don't have to... And yeah, I basically, it frees me up with that team in particular. The only condition you can give me is knockdown that needs to be healed. So I'm not spending momentum clearing condition. If I'm not doing that, when I do spend momentum, I'm always free to heal up what little damage you can do.
Yeah, because Shark's the only one actually with the knockdown, and it's on 4.
Yeah.
And if he's hitting 4, he's probably going to be looking to do stagger or something else momentously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, stagger combined with knockdown, great. Like, stagger, great. Character play. Okay, for a team with a lot of 2-inch melee, going up your team with... Because my team is exclusively 1-inch melee, and your team, apart from Angel, in this lineup, is almost all 2-inch. Salt and Angel, they only have 1-inch melee, but if Salt trying to swing and take someone down, something's gone horribly wrong. So you don't have to worry about counterattacks or like that. But it freed me up to... I did have a point. I can't believe I locked it. Oh god, I'm getting old. Like, flat out. How many times? Like, I wish if a 20-year-old me were here, fresh off a mosh pit and half a bottle of whiskey in, I'd go for a... I could do a backflip next morning. Now I'm... God, I'm like playing Guild Ball. God.
Oh, it's been a long old morning playing Guild Ball. Oh god.
Oh yeah, it's been lovely. But yeah, the element of with the engineer for the 2-inch melee.
So first of all, what six did you bring for your engineers?
For my original lineup, because I bought the starter kit, which I think is Ballista, Salva, and what?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, I didn't buy the starting kit. I bought the original starting kit, which was your free model. So I've got Ballista, Mainspring, Calvo, Hoist, Velocity, and Ratchet, which is like a good combination of mechanical. I actually quite like the team. One of the weird things about going to someone like the Hunter and then coming back to my original engineering team is that it helps you appreciate what's good about it. I think if I've been playing a different engineering lineup and I come back to this team, I might be going, oh, oh fuck, I make all that shit with my other engineering. But because I've gone to a different actual team,
yeah.
Coming back to the engineering, where fucking Mintbring got a free 4-kick and he gets a free pack, to getting an 8-inch free die pack per turn that can't be intercepted and all this shit, and I can only benefit. And all these other little bells and whistles that make them really good, yeah, make them really strong.
It's like, it's they're a really nice team, your engineers, because they've got like lots of little moving parts, but not in such a way like the farmers, where like if you misplace a couple of harvest markers, that can be devastating. Whereas your little bits of moving parts are things like, oh, well, if I put tooled up and deletion on someone, well, I don't know.
No, it's like pin vice and get that.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, I think tooled up is the only character play on that team. Ratchet, basically, Ratchet activate is the only activation I've got to do where I need to make him go before another player. He can get the free charge as well to a mechanical person.
Yeah, so that just sort of like, you throw down the tooled up and the free charge, and Hoist just gets turned up to 11, doesn't he? And he's already pretty devastating.
Oh, Hoist isn't too bad. He's not. His general player book isn't spectacular. Hoist, true replication is the core of Hoist. It will make him just a great model. He can, I think, like, Hoist is one guy who can do a lot of damage, but you have to, like, yeah, you have to scoop him up. Like, if you, it's one of the things where you have Hoist go in on plus one damage with a free charge and you go, oh my god, you're just killing people. Yeah. But in reality, you have to give Hoist plus one damage and kick influence, effectively kick influence, just to try and take down one model. He's not like a J-Car guy. Like, imagine how good J-Car would be if he got a free charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And then got plus one damage on top of that. Like, that's a killer for me, that's a truly, for Hoist just starts becoming mid-killer tier. Any model in any kind of, I take any vaguely shit killer from even like the Butcher. Again, Meat Hook, be great with a free charge. I feel like you have to go through all that just to get him to the possibility of killing.
Yeah.
I've kind of warming up to Ratchet, believe it or not, with a killer. Again, coming back to him, looking at the old playbook and going like, wait a minute, he's actually got a memento of 2 damage. He's got the weirdest fucking playbook in the world. At the very end, I think he's got a memento of 1 and a double push, and then non-memento 3. It's like, oh fuck, like...
Yeah.
I'm sure the double push and the one damage is great and all. It's just, poor Ratchet.
He's very much like when I first started playing the Takeout game, like a few months ago, because obviously I came off the back of like exclusively Sharkfish since the start of season 3 until about 6-7 months ago. And when I started looking at the sort of beta game, the first thing I always did when someone placed their models down was I'd always try to find what I called like the victim, or like, who I was looking to bully. And Ratchet is, he's got that, you know, the victim for me tends to have like low defense and armor, obviously, but I need them to have no real counterattack capabilities.
Yeah,
because that means you can just walk in and there is nothing stopping you just beating into them. Like if they have like maybe a push on one or like a low knockdown, that takes them out for me, because I want to be able to go in and sink all the full stack of influence into doing damage instead of having to worry about negating the counterattack with the first one. So things like it, when I was playing Grange, or like when I was putting Windle into someone, obviously because you want to get the Berserk off, I'd always try and go for like that victim.
Yeah.
And like, you seem to be getting loads of work out of Ratchet, and I think it's because we've gone back after like playing for a good while, you know, I think we've gone from being like trash tier players into, well, I think I've started to rise up into the sort of lower mid tables, and you know, well, the first time you went to an event you placed, prick. So the fact that we're going back and having a look at these old cards, that's what I was interested in today, because we were looking at things and seeing things that obviously they were there in front of us the first time, they're in black and white, but we didn't see them. Things like it's just stupid things like using Tidal Surge on an enemy model, you know, like with Shark, like where it looked like you'd been setting Ballista up for this mega activation, so I was just like, nope, off you go, 4-inch.
Yeah,
you know, just treating that dodge as a push, like get away from me. Or like even stupid things like Shark using Quickfoot on Siren, or dodging Siren across with Tidal Surge instead of it being always on him. We seem to have gone back and sort of opened up this whole new way to play these players that we've been playing for a long time, or like that we had been playing for a long time before we made the switch. But yeah, you seem to have done it much better than me, because what was it, 12-6 we finished on, and I got
15-6.
Yeah, my god, yeah.
On 11 and I finished out with a goal.
Yeah, so 15-6. But it was like a ping pong finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you were actually on 11-2, and then 2 came from the fact that you got the ball onto Velocity, got her so far up the pitch that you just punted the ball into my area.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone back, just in case.
We had like that opening turn where I think that's one of the, there are weird things that happen in this game where you kind of realise how much you've grown strategically. And one of the things is, like, having, when I had velocity halfway at the pitch, on your side, like, a few inch in, having the ball going, oh, how am I going to get the goal? And I realised earlier, like, going, wait a minute, even if I get the goal, it's not a good thing for me. A, you'll get the counter goal, but I'll be completely out of control of the ball. And just going, you know what, I'm going to kick it into your half and just have it far up your half if possible.
Yep.
And knowing that you're going to have to spend a turn. It took two turns just to get that ball back.
Yeah.
Into play, and then I had, more importantly, I had Velocity floating around, who, Angel and Velocity are kind of, like, Angel was near the ball and Velocity was near the ball, about 8 inches away.
Mm.
And they're very comparable in many ways. Their stat lines are very similar. They've got a sprint and the same kick. But in a one-on-one matchup, Velocity wins that, no problem. About as good as Nimble, Velocity's got Nimble,
yeah.
she does get a free dodge she can buy for 2 inch. Which means she can take the ball off Angel and dodge away for free without having to worry about parting blow. More importantly, she's got close control.
Yeah.
She wins the matchup.
Yeah.
That's the
problem I had with that is that you kept the ball on her, and even Shark struggled to get it off her. And that's when I'm really, really missing my new lineup, like my Corsair and Kraken, because I just love rough seas. Just going, getting around close control.
Yeah.
Just going, no. Like, it costs the same because you'd cost two to get the two tackles off, but the fact that you just take it straight from them, there's no counter attack, there's no right to reply.
Yeah.
You can just take it away and do what you want with it.
Okay, for Shark, him getting to Velocity was the influence tap.
Yeah.
You had to spend one to do the thing, you had to get the dodge, and by the time you got to her, you had to, like, you've got 2 inch melee. Like, effectively in this game, with this team lineup I've got, I don't get counter attack.
Yeah.
There's almost no reason for me to get a chance to counter attack. Even if I was in base to base, your dodging generally is so good that I have to be spectacularly lucky just to even get a chance to counter attack, really. And I'm not going to do much with it. It's not like the engineers really struggle in the playbook department. Great character play. I don't have a problem. Great kick. That's another thing coming back to engineering as well. Spectacular kick across the board.
Mm.
Really just solid.
Well, it's not even that they've got a huge distance. It's that extra dice. Because they seem to be a lot of 4-6s floating about.
Yeah, shitload of 4-6 model. Carvo's got 3-8. Mainframe 3-4. All of them can get good kick.
Mm.
There's no situation where, and again, even Mainspring, he can effectively got 3-8 kick unless he's going for a goal, but even he can be a cheeky little striker. He's only got 2 results on his playbook, and one of them could double dodge. Like, if you charge someone at 8 inch and you get a couple of wraps, you could have 4 inch of dodge, no problem. You could potentially get on the charge, if you get spectacularly lucky on a shit model, you could get 6 inch worth of dodge, and then you got your 4 kick, which is 3. Like, if he can tap in range, he's fucking old and they fucking Mainspring. It's hard to think on the way engineering and fishermen interact, because they're very similar types of teams in many ways. I'm not good at lost my train of thought.
So coming back to this first team sort of opened my eyes, because I realised that the entire first sort of chunk of my Guild Ball career, as it were, right?
Yeah.
When I first started at season 3, before I picked up the Farmers when they released, I only played Shark.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise just how little of the game I was seeing. I was like just scratching the surface, because with the lineup I was playing, it was always, because the 6 wasn't as set as it is now. I'm so happy with my Corsair 6 that I think my main progression at the moment isn't playing around with other models. It's in my own head, and I think I'm starting to get there.
Yeah.
But the fact that my lineup was always a Shark lineup, and the variation was always, right, which striker am I putting in?
Yeah.
Like, I might on occasion put Jack in instead of Sakana or instead of Angel, but that was always to utilise Get Over Here on Salt. Jack's job was to improve the mascot, which, looking back, was a fucked way to pick a roster, to pick a team. But I was playing so little of the game, because I was always going for 3-0. Like you said, the takeout isn't even an option there, so you're taking that brain space away from something your opponent's got to worry about. So this idea that I could only ever go for goals is just completely locked out me from most matchups, which is probably why I was such a trash player. It just goes to show, because in one turn, like, because the game ended 15-6. I got one kill, and I spent the entire turn getting that kill.
Yeah.
You played the grudge match game plan card in turn 2, and this is the one where you'd also just completely killed the ball deep in my... So I had to, I spent the entire turn using an angel to go and get the ball and bring it back to somewhere reasonable. But then apart from that, it's like, well, I can't just put it into space because Ballista will just breach and score.
Yeah.
So I just had to keep it on angel. And I was like, right, next turn I'll do something with it. But then that meant I had nothing to do. I'd put singled out on salvo because I just needed to put it on someone. So I sunk shark, siren and grayscales.
Yeah.
All their influence went into killing salvo. You got two heals off because you got the come on mate and take a breather. And it took all three of them models with loved creature, which you procced because you killed Sol. So I had the singled out. I had the loved creature. So I was getting plus three tack. I was then getting two crowd outs by the end. So I was on plus five tack and I still just managed to kill.
Yeah.
This lineup, I'm now realizing back because thinking back, I really enjoyed playing the football game. So I was like, football, football, football. Let's improve my football game. But instead of making it easier for me to score goals, I realized that all I did was I just closed out any other possibilities.
Yeah.
So I sort of, in trying to improve my team, what I'd actually done is sort of put a stranglehold on them. Whereas now I've got that sort of flexibility to do a bit of both as and when needed. It's, in a way, it has improved the football game because it's made it, the models themselves aren't better at it, but it's opened up the fact that because the other player has to consider the fact that models could get taken out, they can't take as many risks. Do you know what I mean? Because they've got to consider the fact that a model could get taken out, you can't just throw players up the pitch just to be chaff, which was slowing down the football game.
Yeah, it's hard to get on that Fisherman lineup. When you've got a team that can only do the one thing, the main advantage of it is the mental space it frees up. So me going, wait a minute, you can't push the advantage too much. You know, my model can close in and eat someone. You can't, again, the kind of benefit of having a full striker team is that you go, oh, well, no matter where the ball is, it's always a risk of me getting it. But I've also got pretty good strikers. Okay, the opening turn, the ball, you kick to me, and the ball was in a pretty shoddy spot for me.
Mm.
But just having Salvo go, okay, it's ever ball that, off it goes. Like the shark goal kick and all that, and all the fire and produced and all that lot. It's a good, the fishermen have great ways to get the ball. And if that had been any other team, if that had been the hunter team, I'd have had a much harder time getting that fucking ball back. At the very least, I wouldn't have been able to pack it to someone.
Yeah.
I'd have to just kick it into the middle of nowhere and hope for the best. But yeah, with the engineers who have got good ball control generally, whether the ball free or on a player, the strikers actually have, the way the engineers play but get good is when the strikers come into it. Because Salvo got a tackle double dodge, which is great. Kate helped me out this turn. Velocity's got a fucking amazing playbook. She's got shit like a tackle dodge. She's got a double push double dodge momentically. And she can nimble up. And she's got close control. So you don't have to worry about
a 6-0 model with close control. That's crazy.
Well yeah, when you put Angel in an Angel versus Velocity matchup, Velocity would just flat out win the matchup. And she's got reanimate, more importantly. So even if you go, alright, 6 defense, bitch, I've knocked you down, staggered you, you're on 4-0 now, blah 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 blah. And yeah, you go, okay, I'm finally gonna kill you. And I'm going, alright, got me down to 0, reanimate, remove all that knockdown shit, you're back to 5.
That's the thing with reanimate, isn't it? It's not the fact that you just get the 3 health back, because you wouldn't, it's the fact that you come back just as new.
Reanimate, it's great, it's a great play.
Losing all those debuffs that were on you just makes it so hard to get those last three again.
Yeah, a lot of benefits that the engineer team have generally. For me coming back, when I'm thinking on new lineup for the engineer, I'm gonna try and play a fresh new engineer team. See how I get on. And Hoist is such a big part of it for me. True replication is, outside of where they go, I think up there is one of the best character players in the game. Get more out if you need it.
It makes him just such a flexible model.
Yeah.
Whether it's taking Blaster for that horrendous gun line on turn one.
Yeah.
Or whether it's taking Burrow off Mother for some horrible janky goal run. He's such a versatile model that he's really forgiving. If you've got him on the pitch, you know you can pretty much react to any situation that's happening. It's not like some modules that it's not like some modules that are particularly good either towards the early game or like towards the late game.
Yeah.
Whereas I think some of the goalkeeper models tend to drop off, because I think that by the time they've stopped a couple of goals, or by the time a couple of goals have got in anyway, they're probably more useful up the pitch. Especially is it Compound with Horrific Odor?
So
just slowing people down a bit further up, rather than just being a magnet that you stick to your goalpost to make it harder to score goals. I think their usefulness is kind of one note, because if you manage to kill the ball in another way, you're making it harder for them to do something they're not going to achieve, and that's just an activation you're losing because it's just stuck down the other end of the pitch. So the fact that Hoist can literally react on his activation, what's the current board state, what am I most useful to do, what's the most useful thing I can do at this moment, right, let me do that, off we go.
Yeah, Hoist is, for me, he is the core of the engineering, even more so than the captain in many ways. The ability to be reactive, I think out of all the play styles, I've talked vaguely about player types before, but the player types that I think out of all the player types I think are the most strong, the reactive play style is always the one I try to go for and keep in mind. I think it's the strongest way to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like a whole thing of going like, oh, how do you set up on the kickoff and kicking and receiving? I don't think too much about it. I kind of like to, I don't do stupid shit like not put any models near where the ball could possibly be. But for the most part, my general thinking is, I'll see what you give me, and I'll go from there.
Because the only thing that isn't going to change is the terrain that's on the pitch.
Yeah. If you get to, one of the big things that shocked me about reading the forum when I first started playing Guild Ball, even when I first started playing the game, it blew me away how many people were going, I'm going to win the game by going two goals, two takeouts.
Yeah.
And go, that's how I win the game. Like going, wait. If I knew someone planning takeout, I go, well, I'm back up, don't I?
Yeah.
I don't give you the takeout. I go, well, excuse me, sir. I'm meant to win by two takeouts. If you just hand the model, no, I'm not going to let you have them. If you can't get that third goal, that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah.
The early player, like that velocity player, where I had her up the pitch. And I went, I could get the goal, but it wouldn't be particularly preferable. And just going, I'm going to kick onto your half. It's one strategy I wouldn't have done when I first started playing.
Yeah.
In archery, they call it target panic, which is when you're aiming down your bow and you think your arrow's on the spot where you need to be to hit the centre, you immediately let go of the arrow.
Yeah.
And it fucks up your aim. Like, you're meant to be ready. They're still, you've got a moving part, and then you see the target and go.
Yeah.
Where really, you want to go, wait a minute, okay, I need to steady myself. What am I doing? Is this where I need to put the target? And that's the thing, going with looking, getting target panic, basically, and going, oh no, I need the goal, I'll get the goal, I've got it now, I'll do the sprint, I'll do the shot, whee! And then you go, okay, goal kick, shark, gonna get two goals, and now your best striker from that far of the field.
Yeah.
Just being able to go, okay, I kick it on your half, floating ball, and you've got Angel nearby, but I knew for a fact you'd have trouble getting it to her. And more importantly, I've got Mainspring down the line, who can charge, even if you're close control. If Mainspring gets a wrap, he can momentumly tackle twice.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, if you don't have it, you can momentumly tackle, try and get the double dodge and negate, and he always gets a free pass, long bomb, and he's not a bad kicker, so he can just get back to velocity. And I had other models waiting to support velocity later on down the line, but having that coming back element of foresight and trying to be able to take advantage, like counterintuitive stuff, like I'm going to let you have the parting blow because I know you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
The sort of things that before, when we were playing, we were always like, no, oh god, I can't take the parting blow. One thing you said was, what does Grayscale's knock down on? Oh no, he doesn't knock down. Oh no, it doesn't matter anyway because it's Hoist.
I had heard it. But yeah, he's so fucking good. Sturdy, tough-eyed. Like, those are basically part in blow negative.
Yeah.
Like, unless you get an incredible rap and knock down. Like, on Shark, it's impossible to do anything about Hoist. If Hoist walks away from Shark, as good as he is, you can't dodge after him. You can't do it like that. You can't knock him down. Even if you got every single hit and then took away the one armor. Because that playbook only goes on for so long, even with the part in blow, I know you can't do anything about Hoist walking away. Yeah, the fact he can take shit like Long Bomb. Like, I can even remember packing games where that's another thing I like about Hoyt. Not only being reactive, he's surprising in the way he can react.
Yeah.
People kind of seem to sleep on him a bit when he's on the pitch. But how many times I've gone like, oh, go, oh, Hoyt is going to take that burrow. Keep an eye out for that burrow. They're in fact in character play this turn. I've gone, oh, I'll take long bomb actually, and boof, pack it off to like Calvo on the wing,
yeah.
And they'll go, fuck, I forgot about long bomb.
Yeah.
I forgot about the other. I forgot about every other card, because that's what Hoyt did. He's every card on the game, on the engineering team, and he's so fucking flexible with it. Like a great model. I don't know what to do without him. And he wasn't even that impressive this game, but the threat, that's another thing I like.
Yeah.
Being able to threaten something.
In the same way that whenever I sit down and play someone, the amount of times they measure 12 inches from Corsair before they do anything. You know, you've got that same thing, you've got that same horrible feeling with Hoyt, but you don't know what he could do. Whereas with Corsair, it's right, if I'm outside of 12, I can't be dragged. Whereas with Hoyt, you're just looking at him going, what the fuck is he going to try this turn? Like, is he just going to try and do some explosive damage, or is he going to try and like run off with the ball? He's like you were saying, he can threaten, and he can threaten with anything.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is how you're saying about getting target panic, and you didn't take that goal with velocity. But like we've been saying a lot lately that we should take, like, it's about taking points, it's about getting 12 before. So I think the only reason that you sort of thought it was safe to kill the ball instead of get an extra 4 points on the board is because you know that in that lineup in particular, there is no plan B.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, losing the 4VP, was like taking 8 off you. Knowing if I just have the ball floating around somewhere, knowing that you can't get to it and that's your way of getting points, immediately go, I've got all the time in the world now to spend, and more importantly, freed up influence. I wasn't putting a stack of 4 on Volkner thinking I'm going to get the goal with turn. I need everything I've got. Just putting a couple on her and going, yeah, she walks into the middle of nowhere, boots it out, and that's her. And now I've got the rest of my influence on my killer.
Yep.
Which, you know, are incredible killers, but they can do shit. Like, they're not helpless. I think the only problem with the engineering is super character play heavy and having that feeling of like, I need the character play to go my way, and going, yeah, you don't get it.
You tried to deadbolt Shark on one turn, I remember.
Yeah.
And you neither of them hit, and there was that definite feeling of like, there was a lot of eggs in that basket, you know.
A couple of almost all the character play for 2 influence for pop outside of shit like Tooled Up and Burrow. So you're dumping 2 influence on something you kind of need.
Yeah.
Like, but fucking Bullet is great. The fact you get momentum inspiration, the fact you can generate. The one thing I love about the engineering compared to the fisherman as well is that even if you've got control of the ball, I can still put momentum on the board, even at range.
Yeah.
And I can keep up with your momentum generation through packing.
That's it. I found myself very starved of momentum this game. Normally I've got quite a lot floating around, but this game I did feel particularly starved for it, because I had a horrible decision every activation. Because you'd taken the ball out of the game for the vast, vast majority of the game. You only really brought it back in when you wanted it back in.
Yeah.
Because every time I tried to bring it back in, you just took it away again. So I had that horrible choice of, right, do I throw everything into getting the takeouts and generate no momentum? Or do I try and win the momentum race to give me a chance of getting the ball back first? Yeah. At which point, when one time I did that, you know, I managed to get the ball off you. I was like, well, I've spent all my influence getting to you and getting the ball, like burning through close control, getting the ball back. Now I've got it. All velocity had to do was activate and take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bloody devastating game, really. You've just completely locked me out of it, and I can see exactly why I struggled so much when I first started playing, because I think the all-striker lineup I just don't think it works.
Yeah, without the ability to get a bit of damage on the board, and more importantly, the ability to kind of throw some knockdowns out and make my activations more inconvenient. It's a hard one to go through. But the weird thing, I got 3 goals in that game. And the speed of which them 3 goals came, like the second the ball started floating around, I'd already freed up Blister and Ratchet, and I think they get engineers don't really have that great of range of kick, but they've got, all of them have got a little something to even them out. Calvo, he gets the free character play, and if he does damage, he gets the free dodge. Not bad. And he dodges for dink anyway. He's got tether ball, he's got way to control the ball. Velocity, just a flat out good kicker. She don't need any more range on her kick. But Ballista, he gets that one kick for 10 inch and just freeing him up and going, everyone on this ball path is just going to get knocked down. It keeps the incentive of you to go, yeah, I don't even want intervening model. More importantly, it doesn't cost an influence. One of expecting that I can blow an influence trying to beat the shit out out of someone and then go get the kick for free. But the second Velocity parked up in front of the goal, and I finally went for the Velocity goal, just having a parked 4 inch away from the goal go in. Now I've just added, as far as I'm concerned, I've just added 4 inch of kick to every other model on the board.
And is like it, that thing that we were talking about last time, isn't it, when I had Angel just set up with Super Shot in Corsair's Legendary, it suddenly became like you don't even need to get the goal, you just need to hit, you need to hit Angel, at which point the goal's all but certain, isn't it?
Yeah, when you've got a full in tapping range, even like I think the last shot I got, I had Ratchet long bomb to her, which that's the way I view it. When I've got someone of good of Velocity near the goal like that, I don't view it as like they pass to Velocity and she trying to get maybe a goal. I go, I'm effectively adding 5 inch to my kick, and having Ratchet go long bomb to Velocity, which is like a 4 kick anyway, having that whole thing go down and going like, shit, she can tap in range, she's only 2 hits and she's only got 3 dice because you're engaged, but the fact she only needed the 2-3, yeah, just go for it, yeah, why not? Even if I'd missed, I only need to kill a mask or whatever. Yeah. I could have, actually, on that last go, I only need to do kill one person. And you had weak people on the board, but I couldn't. That would give you multiple activations to try and interrupt. The thing, the reason I went for the goal kick, all the goals, they were immediate. And more importantly, it meant every turn, every activation I had, something could potentially devastate and happen. If I'd gone for damage, it gives you at least a turn to go, okay, heal up, try and plug the hole a bit. And having that element of, again, in this game, that element of calculated risk, avoiding VP early to deny you VP, and then later on when it was advantageous to me to go, I'm going to push my point now and go full hog. I don't particularly like striking teams, that's a weird thing.
I feel
like I should get you on the engineering train. I think you quite like them.
I think I would, because they've got, the thing is, once you get in their face, they've not really got anything to help with the fight. You've got either keep people at arm's length, or you've got to fly in and score the goal. Whereas I quite like that sort of, that mentality Corsair has, where he's just sort of trotting forward and he's like, well, we're going to score from out here, or we're going to eat you up there.
Flexibility, reactivity. Every like professional gamer, very vague term from like tabletop to, I've always found that the best guys are the reactive people who can switch their style up at a moment's notice, but you can't switch your style up if you don't have options. And even then, like, I think the activation where you got a kill, it was good if you were going to get, you had a shitload of extra attack, you had the singled out,
yeah,
you even had lowered defence, and having people go in and having like having to have 3 models for full stack go in, go bang 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 and just grind me out, and all I had to do was go 1 momentum, bang, you're back to where you start. And just giving you trouble, even then I think when you attack with Greyscale, you had to spend an influence just trying to push Calvo back into your own melee range.
That's it, because you'd managed to dodge him out. So I was like, well, if I can't push you back in, it's done. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a hard one to do when you have to dump that much in. And the worst thing about that activation is that you got Calvo, but then I had Ballista, Ratchet and Hoist together.
Yeah.
Mark Crew, who were just going to fucking run through. And even then, there were all a little tiny benefit that helped me out in many ways. Hoist being Mechanica instead of a human or a male.
Yeah.
Helps with shit like Siren. Siren's best defence in her ability to go, ah-ha-ha.
I'm 5-0 because you're male.
Yeah, I've got Charm Male. Tee-hee-hee. And shit like Fina, that's another good one.
Or like how Siren could be like, she takes 5 inches off range plays because she's beautiful, but like it doesn't work on AoE. So like when you were throwing down Blast Earth, it was hitting her anyway.
Oh yeah, just shaving huge chunks of life off. I think having having like a pin vike team where you can get all 4 Blast Earth down, plus 1 damage. The gun line setup, it's been around since like the engineering came out. Like it's obvious like how you push that advantage. Yeah. The benefit of Pinvike, you get +1 damage going in, but you lose out on momentum, and making you worry about who could potentially go first, opposed to I'm guaranteed to go first.
Yeah.
With the game plan deck now, you're never in a better position when you go, well, I've got a 2 momentum lead. Like, you start getting pretty sweet about 2-3 momentum. That lead frees up so many options in your game plan card. You go, I don't even need to blow my 7, I can save that for later. And it's not a great effect anyway. Like, you kind of, the 7's what you're paying for. So when you start getting that momentum lead on that first turn, you can get into, ooh, not only am I getting first turn with a card, what benefit am I getting?
Yeah.
Like, first turn, grudge match is great, because you get the singled out, you take it, but you also get the first turn. So going, yeah, fuck yeah, great activation, we're singled out, I'm gonna run a train on something, guys. But yeah, I don't know. I'm wetting it out at the minute.
You're struggling, aren't you, mate?
Oh, God. I shouldn't have done it. I don't know why I drank so much last night, you know. I genuinely it felt like I was having a terrible time, and I went, ooh, half a bottle of whiskey, a bottle of that fire. I was just kind of going, oh, everyone's already drunk, so I guess I'll get drunk. And I just took it too far. I don't know. I was like, yeah, just keep them coming. Like, just whiskey straight out of the glass. Oh, God, I'm feeling it today. I've got work in, like, fucking...
I can't believe you still beat me so easily.
a knock-on effect of... For me, the biggest weakness for the engineer. Like, if you're playing farming or whatever, the second you start tying them up in melee... Like, if you're one-inch melee, like the butcher, for example, I can do something about that, because they're only one-inch melee. Yeah. They can't... They have to engage me on some level, looking back and forth there. They can kill the shit out of me, but at least I've got the reply. I can make them think about it.
Yeah.
The difference with the farmer is that they got so much two-inch melee, and they've got absolutely fucking killer model. Who, because they've got the two-inch versus the one-inch, it freaks me up in a way. Like, Windle, when you attack me with Windle, like the hunting team, and I've got a two-inch melee guy, I'll always try and counter-attack just to force the knockdown.
Yeah.
And go, aha, I'll cap that cancel for one berserk attack.
Yeah.
And a bit of damage. That knocks you from six potential attacks down to four. I've already, that paid for itself then. With two-inch melee versus one-inch, don't even have to worry about that. You've gone from going, oh, I need the knockdown, I'm going to have to give up the attack, to A, I'll just do damage. B, I'll get the second attack. I've, all of a sudden, I've taken damage, and now I've given you a plus to attack, all because I've just got 1-inch melee. Yeah, the crippling advantage 2-inch melee has over 1-inch can't be overstated.
I would love to know what is taken into account when melee, you know, during the design process, at what point they go, yeah, I think 2-inch melee works here, or I don't think 2-inch melee works here. Because I think it's interesting how, just because it's so powerful, I'd like to know what it is that it's sort of factored in, what it's balanced against.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, it can be completely devastating, because it just takes away that like the response. You can't...
Yeah, there's nothing to be done.
It's not only is it so brutal because it takes away the counterattack, it also means that on the other model's activation, they have a decision to make. It's, do I spend my movement just coming, like, going into base to base? Do I spend my movement just coming, like, trying to walk away and taking a parting blow? Because you're in that horrible position where you can't do anything from where you're standing, but you've got to be careful what the counterattack and the 2-inch person can now do to you.
The amount of potency 2-inch melee gives you, like, in a Blister Shark situation, right, Blister can try and deadbolt first and try and knock him down, but in that, if they're just going to attack for attack, the fact Blister has to move, well, shit, I've now given up my movement, which means any dodge you do, like 2-inch melee, the only way you counter 2-inch melee is by having 2-inch melee off. But against 1-inch, there are so many mechanics that become more powerful. Again, when you're attacking, I don't get a counter attack, like you're being ridiculous. It gives you extended range on crowd out and ganging up, and then on my turn I have to give up movement just to start my... Then you can actually go, okay, all I need is a double dodge now. In 2-inch melee land, if I attack and you go double dodge, I just need to be back to back, and I know I can keep attacking.
Yeah.
Completely changing the nature. So not only do I not get counterattacks, your counterattacks are now even better because I've had to give up movement. And you go in, I just take the dodge, or I take the 2-inch, or I do a push dodge. It's devastating to go up again. And there's not really an effective way to counter it other than just knocking them down. Which, on some teams who have good access to knockdown, not too bad. But on my engineer's lineup here, not having reliable knockdown is really hard. Like, deadbolt my knockdown.
Yeah.
And it's good. Great character play. Don't have a bad thing to say about it. But not perfect either. Like, if I roll two dice and I don't get it, I've got to just chance it that you don't get a double push on a 3-1 model. Which, you know, you could do that and get your full playbook. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And going up against that, okay, that's the mental fatigue element. The only thing that frees up my thinking space there, even though I have to worry about shit like counterattack, not being able to be killed back, knowing that even if I lose a bit of ground on the attack, you're not going to come back and go, I actually think they call care so bad. Going after, again, the one defense you have, knocking down, doesn't apply to call care.
Yep.
The one thing he gets going in, like, not only do I get a good counterattack and negate all that shit, is that once your turn's done in a dick swinging contest, Corsair can come back and kill the shit out of you. Shark, you're like, got away, oh well.
Yeah.
He's not going to come back and murder me. Corsair, though, is like going, ha, your activation's gone shit. You've got no momentum now for the heal. And here I come. And like, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to do a shitload of damage. I'm going to win that race. And I think that's just off the back of Sturdy mainly. If it was possible to, if you didn't have to worry about Sturdy, it completely changed the way I treat Cochrane.
Yeah.
Close control, I could take or leave it half the time. But yeah, just knowing he can avoid the first knockdown makes him so much fucking harder to deal with. And I think in my new engineer's lineup, I generally want to try and go for... I'm going to try and get a couple of 2-inch melee. I'm going to try Cochrane for the 2-inch melee. Mm. Never played with him before. A highly rated model, but he's got a lot of cheeky...
He's awesome.
Got a shitload of character trait. He's got like a lot of flexibility. Got a singled out, which is great. But yeah, he's got shit like he can't be pushed.
Yeah, stoic.
Yeah, so just having that helps with the... He's got 2-inch melee, so I don't have to worry about the counter attack shit. He can do something. He knocks down early, great. He can't be pushed out of the melee zone, which is great. And then more importantly, he can actually fucking do shit. He can only have free influence on him, mm-hmm. but I'll take it. He's got tough hide, is one thing. And then you've got... I've got Locus. The thing I like about Locus, knocked down on one momentumly. He's only got 1-inch melee zone, but if you engage him, he gets a free 2-inch push. He draws players in. So if you engage him with a 2-inch melee model, they get pushed 2-inch into base to base with him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they can have a counterattack. It's a cheeky little model. Like,
it's the kick jank you were talking about earlier that you're really excited about.
Yeah, I really... Locus, in theory, has a 12-inch kick. The problem is you've got it's a luck thing. You kind of... It's a fucking heart of the card player where if he starts with a kick... He doesn't kick inch kick. He's got a kick inch kick. End of a kick. Like, okay, for the sake of argument, it's got a kick inch away in the direction you actually want. He can then, if he sprint kick inch directly to where he kicked the ball, he should always be in range to remote control. Problem with remote controlling, it's too influence to buy on a 4-influence model.
Where you've already just paid one for the kick.
It's literally your whole play.
Yeah, because you've paid one for the kick and one for the sprint. Yeah, it is.
Kick, sprint, remote control. And I think the other problem with that is... That factoring in nothing else. If you're supremely lucky, it can go really well. But if you're unlucky, you've got to factor in other models. There could be intercepted models, people can get in the fucking way, you've got a free ball floating around. It can be potentially really fucking great, but hard. It's a hard guy to like justify. Mm. I really want to give him a try. The only reason I'm warming up to Locus more. Got momentum knockdown on one.
It's just great, isn't it? It's fucking great in every situation. That's the main thing I always see when I look at... Whenever you look at Kraken or Grange, the first thing I always see is that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just universally great. Like, yeah. if you're going into, like, set up an attack, the fact that on one hit, you are going to get that, like, 9 times out of 10 on virtually any model.
Yeah. You can't be pushed either. That's another good thing. Let you get stoic. So on the new... I'm trying to form a new team of engineers who are kind of like your core, new core fishermen.
Yeah.
I want some knockdown machines who can go in there and start tying people up.
Yeah.
Which Locus and Colossus can do. Only problem with Locus can go down easy. But he's got 3-2, which is fucking great.
2-1, that's great.
Colossus 2-2, a tough hide. You're going to get your full playbook, but you're not going to get the two. I think I can rule out then.
Yeah.
Like, even if Siren goes into Colossus and hits all the playbook, that two coming out, which you go, what could you do? I'm just taking that momentum off you. I'm taking them best results off you.
Yeah.
And if you miss one, I've just fucked your day up, haven't I?
Yeah.
Great. And more importantly, with Colossus and Locus, drag, less of a thing. Can't ignore first push.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just having them walk up and go, they'll be the barrier. And they've got big fat giant bacon as well, so people can hide behind them. Going, you can spend the money, you can spend the cash money for the drag if you really want it, but you're gonna have to go through 4 just to bring him in.
So who's gonna be in this new engineers lineup? You're thinking?
I'm thinking of my new team, engineer team. I'm kind of trying to rekindle my love for the engineer. I do feel a bit bad that I started with them and it kind of learnt the game, but I don't like coming.
But then
back to
then you made it in the big leagues. You know, you dropped your first agent because you made.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a...
Now you've got that dice. You don't need them, boys,
I feel
anymore.
Like I found Elvis and gone, yeah, all the great talent that I'm putting aside. They're a great fucking team, though. Like, Volke, amazing. Which is a shame, because I'm not bringing her on my new team.
So you've got Colossus, Locus.
Yeah, it'd be Pinvice, Mother. Where the fuck, won't you?
Yeah. Such a shame, isn't it?
I love Mainspring. Really love it. For a mascot, fucking great. Love Mainspring. Only problem is, yeah, Mother is great. And I keep forgetting on the webbing, on the little spider nest shit, I keep thinking it's 2-inch. You know, within 2-inch because of the trap.
Yeah.
I would do that in 4-inch. You can put within 4-inch of her.
Oh, my God.
She's got great range on her. She can fucking move around the fit. Teleport, more importantly.
Mm.
Even if it was like she... If the wording of the card was, she dodging to what...
Yeah.
She technically dodging to where the marker is. it'd be way worth getting cut off of a shirt. You could be other jank you could do. The fact she just goes, I am out.
Yeah.
It negates a bunch of different, like, one of the few ways you can negate a hunter trap is by being placed somewhere else.
Yeah.
She's fucking great for that. And it's super reliable. She gets by the net for free. She's taking out tack. She can just dump it in the middle of your scrum without shaving off tack off a bunch of people.
Definitely.
Yeah, just a fucking great. Open from point, making him infinitely better.
Who obviously makes this new six.
Yeah, I can never. Hoist is the one guy I can never leave off the bench.
I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Gilboard Tonight with Phil, and they were talking about auto includes, and he said there are no auto include models in this game, and I was just like, I'm right there with you. And then he went, oh, there are two auto include models. And I was like, oh, Phil, don't say it. And he went, Piper and Squeak. I was like, I think that's so true. I don't think that there is any model any guild has to take, but Hoist comes pretty fucking close, you know.
I cannot disagree with that. Hoist is so fucking good. And again, I don't want to overstate it too much. Like, he's not a fresher style killer machine. But yeah, he's flexible and he's hard to kill. He's not
so forgiving to the player who's playing the engineers.
That's the thing, he's not. Velocity scored way more points than Hoist ever has. But the fact he gives me options to do shit and film anyway.
It stops it because there are times where you can have like influence on a model and you can just go, nothing I can do. Sometimes you do just go, oh, I've got to burn that influence, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
But because of that flexibility, because of everything you can do, you know, you aren't going to have that problem on him. If you give him some influence, you're going to get some work out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. The element about Hoist, he's got a tough hide, reality. Anime, sturdy. He just eats up influence. He's hard to fucking kill. And yeah, and you can make him do what you want. You have to kind of drag him kicking and screaming. If you're going to make him kill someone, you've got to give him some damage buff. He's not going to just start swinging on anyone. He can actually do shit. And the fact he opens up so much of the game. More importantly, like, take like a guy like Colossus and Hoist working together. You go, oh shit, you know, Colossus could be a killer, but you have to spend one just to get them singled out. Hoist comes in and goes, whoa, fella. I'll take the field out. Let me deal with that sunshine.
Yeah.
You keep that free influence, and I'll give that model field out for you, and you can come and do your thing, right, champ?
Yeah.
And yeah, perfect. That everyone's already thinking that Harriet the Hat. She's got that little sucker punch. 8-inch, only 2 damage over 8-inch. The reason she gets that is because she can do the knockler ball off and shit.
Yeah.
But it's got a guild ball result on Harriet's playbook, not spectacular, on Hoist's playbook. Great. He gets the guild ball on the 2. And he comes in, I'll take the sucker punch,
yeah.
Pin Vice and Ratchet give him +2 damage. He should walk up to someone, wail on him. Even a high defense model, if he gets 2 hit, that guy 8-inch over there, bang, 4 damage.
No.
And like, yeah, on Angel, I go, I'm hitting Kraken or whatever. Angel kicks Nimble over there. Yeah, do a hit. I'll probably get the free charge too, Ratchet.
Yeah.
If I rap, fucking hell, someone's taking 8 damage.
Yeah.
Off, no. 8-inch away, without a roll or without any kind of intervening, like bang, 1-2. If he got, let's say he gets a good rap on the charge and he got the +2 damage. I know we're getting into. Okay, I don't want to say getting into Dreamland territory.
It's not particularly foreign world,
is it?
It's
not hard to. You have to spend 2 activation to get him up, but it's not hard to fail. You can kind of close up and go, yeah, we can do this in our own time.
Yeah, it's what I was saying earlier. They've got the thing about the engineers is they've got these moving parts, but it's like it's not difficult to set each other up. It's not even that time consuming. It's just a couple of activations. You turn Hoist up to 11. You point them at someone.
Yeah, the only thing is like when you see what. He's doing, trying to tie him up in melee, trying to negate the free charge. But even then, it turned second guild ball on his playbook. Thank God he doesn't have a momentum for him. He'd be fucking. Even then, if Ballista shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think that counts, actually, because you technically have to roll. I think for momentum inspiration, you have to roll something. Just go in, I get the playbook, bang. I don't think that counts. But if you rolled for it, technically, I think that'd count. But yeah, that whole thing of like going, yeah, Pin Vice and Ratchet can come back and give him +2 damage and the free charge. If he racks on the third charge, which depending on the model, very doable, he can't be knocked down, so you know, the counterattacking off the picture. He'll get 8 damage off that wrap from that sucker punch for +2 damage. Now, again, admittedly, you need three models near Hoyt to pull it off, but very not that hard to get up. And then more importantly, he's got 4 influence left to go for dark out of 8 damage, 15, 20 damage. And we're not talking like far away dreamland shit. We're talking he needs 2 hits on his playbook and yeah. Bang, 4 damage, non-momentum at range, and he doesn't roll for a guy like Kraken floating around. The Hoyt just there to go.
So I assume that means you're bringing Harriet as the last member of your 6 in this.
No, I don't have the model at the minute. I'm just that in the Theorycraft land. At the minute, Ratchet, Hoyt, Locum, Colossus, Pinvi, and Mother. And yeah, Pinvi's great. She can give other people activation. She can do all sorts of shit. Having models for tough hide makes her even better. She puts that your penalty for, because she can give models +2 move and +1 damage and make them go on the next activation, which is kind of a bit of a trick.
Oh shit! Does she have like a linked Mechanica thing?
No, she can spend 3 influence. You go next. The only downside is, if with all them, you take 2 damage at the end of your activation with that model, you got tough hide, you're only paying half the cost for that. For Hoyt, you turn around to Hoyt and go, alright, +2 move for Hoyt, +1 damage, there you go, mate, gone up. And,
That skips the entire issue that you get with models that spend their turn activating another one, you know? It's for all that we bash the blacksmiths, because we both really hate playing.
Oh, yeah, fuck them, yeah.
Just get that in. Also, the obligatory 2-3, what the fuck. But the idea, activate anvil, it's almost like you go, right, I'm going to activate anvil, you hit a button, you turn on sledge,
yeah,
and then your opponent has a turn to sort of react to that, whether to heal a model that looks like it's going to start taking a pounding, or pull them out of that situation, or just find a way to make it more difficult for Sledge. It's as if Pinvice is getting that thing where she's just going, right, you get that, you get that, you get that, and you're in now.
Yeah, like,
off you go. There's no, it's that whole right to reply. It's the same issue we have that 2 melee, 1 melee on the counter attack and things like that. It's when you set things up and there's no chance to respond, that's when things are really, really strong. But it's interesting that you're changing up guilds, like going back to the engineers trying a new 6.
I'm not going to officially make another proper team or all, but I'm going to give them another chance.
Give them a bit of a run out.
Yeah, I do think when I made the new team, I was flicking through the, I kind of like themed team. I'm a bit of a sucker for kind of.
Bit of a fluff bunny.
Not even the fluff. I just like, I like the teams kind of make sense in a weird way in my head. God, I mean, kind of like Imperial Killer. Yeah, like, I just like it to make sense to me. Go and get a projector. Do you see? All the people I've killed, they never got it, but. Yeah, for me, having like a mechanical team, and Ratchet there makes sense to me, getting like the guy who,
yeah, because he's like the sort of fixer, isn't he?
That's like a nice little fucker.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice little fluffy team, really.
Yeah, like a nice little mechanical team. Yeah. And the other thing I think is, when I'm fucking through the stat, I'm going like, shit, they've all got 4 shit kick. Down like only Mother got 2-4 shit kick. Yeah.
It's not like 6 isn't an incredible range, but 4 puts you in that 4 dice. I think you can rely on that every single time.
Oh yeah,
I don't think you even need to bonus time. There's a few times with like a 3-6 mod logo, well, I really need this, I think I'll bonus time it.
Yeah,
but with on 4 dice, the only time I bonus time it is goals, and that's because I'm too scared of the scatter putting it somewhere
better,
that it'll never be retrieved. Yeah. You know,
just better, isn't it?
But I think it's interesting that you're sort of thinking of picking up like a B team, because I think we're both doing this at the moment, and I think it's because we're starting to get more comfortable with where we are as players, and we think that the next sort of step is sort of pushing the boundaries now, starting to really push out, try and pick more teams up, learn things across there. Because we sort of spent a while focusing our energy just to sort of get our core abilities to a level we're happy with, and now we're going to try and spread that out to sort of learn other things and sort of try and help our Guild Ball game. But it's interesting that you've gone for engineers when the Falconers have just come out. Well, when the Falconers are just about to come out, which seems to be a team that is almost made for you.
I'm definitely going to give the Falconers a try, but just looking at their cards at the minute, like you've got Minerva and you've got Divana and all the cards are out now, basically. Rundash and Icarus look great. The problem I have with the Falconers is that even though they're the Hunters minor guild, they don't really play like the Hunters for me, and they don't play like my Hunters team. It's not like oh, we've got a fresh new take on the team you've got.
Yeah.
For me, these are just a completely different team.
They've just got the same colour.
Yeah, they're just, the flavour is the same, but the style of play is completely different. I'm definitely going to give them a try. Sky. I've already got my theory crafting hat on for that, all that shit. But I kind of like survivable models for my team. That's the main thing that's put me off Falcons at the minute. They're so weak,
yeah.
And they need so much get up. Like, if I get hoist up, I know he can make it till the end of the turn.
Yeah, whereas the Falconers seem to be glass cannon, but mega glass and not all that much cannon.
Yeah, well, okay, the cannon aspect of their team, I don't think it, again, the Butchers in the same way. I think they've got a shitload of cannon, but yeah, very, very glassy. Very easy to just push them out of the way. And with the Falconers, I can see all these, like, potentially great activations on the board and go, oh, you know, maybe this will work, maybe that'll work. I can imagine all these great Divana turns, but I also know, like, the way I think when I'm putting together a new team and how I think they're going to play, first thought should be, and same for anyone, when you're forming a new team going, if I were playing against the team, how would I ruin their day?
Yeah, yeah.
And my first thought going, Matagi, Minerva, Divana can definitely survive a turn. She's got a pretty decent stat line. Even Rundak, though, not spectacular. Like, Icarus, like, they're all weak models. And I could easily envision just going, get over here, I'm killing you in an activation. That's the thing, the first thing I thought when I looked to Divana, because she's the core damage dealer of that team, no doubt. She's reliant on at least three models going before her who die easily. And then I'm in that head of going, like, wait a minute, if I remove Matagi or Minerva or Rundak from this lineup, the damage just goes down and down, and yeah, not by a bit, by a fucking shit. You lose a lot when models start going down. And again, if Matagi's already gone, I go, well, wait a minute, I've got a turn here to either eat Rundak or Minerva and cock block the Harrier. There's so much you can do to get in the way of their damage dealing potential. And then in the meantime, you're getting VP. In the meantime, you're getting shitloads of momentum.
Mm.
Like, I think they'll be a good team. I'm sure someone will come up with some amazing, incredible jank, like Icarus is off the fuck it. What can you do about Icarus? If he wants to, how do you stop this fucking model? Like, one of the few ways you can block a good striker is by trying to just basically get in their way.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can just go, I'm going like, oh, the fact he can go through a base is as good as the ability to dodge all the way around them. But if he goes on the other side of them, if he charges and ends on the other side of a model, you need to even try and crowd him out in that situation, you need to do so fucking much.
Yeah.
And you can't block him, so that's not even worth trying. And then, yeah, he'll probably get a double dodge momentarily. Bang, he's got a ridiculously good kick. He's a really good model. I think he'll be the core of the team by a mile. That and airmail, fucking yeah, incredible. But against anyone who's vaguely good at killing, I think the Falcons are going to have a really bad time.
Yeah.
The more I reflect on it, I almost feel like the Harrier thing, it does feel like a bit of a trap. The more I reflect on it, I think the tempting you in with the Harrier, going, come on, like, imagine all that damage. Plus 4 attack, plus 1 damage. I can't. Ooh, Frelfy, get her in there, get that extra 1 attacker. Just come on in. Come on into the house of the Falconer. Guy, like, it's tempting going, like, can you imagine those activations, guys? Are you looking forward to having that 11 tack activation with Divana and killing the model and go, yeah, yeah, I'm a cat with it? And meanwhile, Icarus is floating around, and I think we're going to turn into like a kind of goal scorer team.
Yeah.
I think Icarus and Frelfy. The thing that set me off originally when Frelfy got announced, and I went 3-4 kick.
Mm.
Oh, with air mail, that'll be ridiculous. I'm going like, and the more I reflected on it, going like, she can give her a free dodge and she got fucking air mail, and I'm going like, at first like, oh man, that's going to be so powerful. That mascot's going to get goals today. And then I kind of went and going, maybe they need it.
Yeah.
That was what I kind of walked away from after thinking on it and looking at the card again. I go like, the fact that Frelfy and Icarus are so good at goal scoring, their potential for points is so good. I quickly went from going, oh, that might be a problem, because I'm so good at doing damage, to I think they might need the goal scoring potential.
Just to balance it out.
Just because they'll get eaten so quickly.
It's because how we were saying with engineers, like, yeah, Hoist might need a bit of setup, but that setup is easy. I put that, it's on Hoist, he takes it with him. Whereas the setup from the Falconers comes from you placing things on your opponent or placing things on the pitch,
yeah,
which can either be avoided or you can just move. If, like, say someone puts Ice Spire down on one of your models, if it hasn't activated, you just get it out.
Yeah.
If it has activated, you kind of like try and scrum up around it, offer some kind of protection.
Yeah, the plan part of the Falconer is like you're relying on a plan going well through a shitload of activations. We're not talking like 2 activations or the occasional one. Again, tooled up. Once you put tooled up down, the damage is done.
Yeah.
You just need to wait 1 activation to take advantage of it.
When I played Farmers, I'd put the tooled up on Fallow, and then Harrow's job at that point was to then jog forward forward and stand there and almost be like, come on, you know, like sort of dangling him on a hook, just going, come on.
I remember having conversations.
You
like
can
that.
Get him.
I remember saying to you, I think at one point you're umming and ahhing a bit about Harrow. You're going like, oh, he died so quick. I remember saying to you, let them have it.
Yeah, the damage is done. Like, yeah, if you've put plus one on Fallow, or if you put plus one on Windle, and he's got a chance that he's going to get all six off, go on. Yeah,
someone's they're going to be near Windle and Fallow by default. It's a 4-inch range character play. Getting into Harrow and going, all right, I've had enough of this twat. He goes down like a crack of shit. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Going, oh, Windle and Fallow have been untouched. Was that plus one damage, and you're only a few inch away. You've given up. I feel like what you've given up compared to what they've just given you. Yeah, take the hit. Let them kill Harrow. And it's not even a particularly easy model to kill. Yeah. A lot of health. I'm very cautiously optimistic about the Falcons. I'll definitely get them on the board and try my best to get game and see how far I can push their potential. But yeah, a lot of things that really set me off early. The more I've had time to think on it, I'm almost tempted. I'm probably going to eat my words on this one. I'm tempted to think they're going to be one of the weaker minor guilds because of how much on the kill potential all there. But like, when you bring in Minerva and Matagi, super easy to kill. Super low defense. Minerva, super low defense, not that great health. Matagi, shit health, high defense, but easy to kill. It wouldn't shock me if you have guys going in going, I'm just going to kill them too. And I remember saying this a couple of episodes ago, how shit does Divana, like, if you took away Death from Above, how shit of a captain does Van and become airmail and hackback are your best players after that. Better yet, you've got, if you want to get the maximum potential out of Death from Above, you've got 3 turns to go, can I kill that captain in 3 turns? A lot of guilds, the answer is yes, you can. For a lot of guilds, the answer is I just need 1 activation, never mind 3. I think that'll always be the play, just start killing them. And
it's not big, it's not clever, it doesn't take a whole lot of thinking,
and a lot of teams can do a shitload of damage to them. Like, fucking, I can already imagine in my head horrific Windle activation Rage and Gutter just walking in and just taking bashing them out of time, and that's assuming you keep Divana safe the entire time.
I will be very interested to see what top players do with them. That's what I want to look out for. I want to see how the big names play them, because I'll be very interested to see how they in the same way that, going back to our first teams today, picking up the same cards, we've seen different things. I'll be interested to see how them top players see things that we've missed on these cards.
Yeah, I am looking forward to, like, I have no doubt people, I'm not a particularly jank heavy player.
But the Jank Master Flashes of the world, they're going to see some mad shit.
Some will come up from theory crafted shit, but even the stuff that's obviously good and good, but I do think there'll be goal strikers. I think that'll, in many ways, that's the way they'll defend their weaker model. By going, you could go after Minerva and Matagi, but you've got Icarus to stop.
And there you go. It just keeps coming around to that thing. You know, that the team I was playing to start with, you didn't have that second thing to think about. You know, they could score goals, so if you take that option away from them, you know, what are they going to do? Whereas with these guys, you're going to have to go after Divana, but if you go after Divana, Icarus, because he's got movement for days, he's going to get it.
Well, I feel they've all got kickman syndrome, where you turn around and go, I'm looking for the weak model. You could literally roll, you could go, okay, starting from 1 to 6, I'll give each model a number and roll. And it's like, oh shit, what do you know, I've got a weak model. Icarus, not particularly survivable for a striker. A lot of 1-inch melee. I really like that they're given Rundash Shadow, like, cause that's one of the few ways you can counteract the 2-inch melee on offense. Not great defensively, and he's got tough hide, 13 boxing. Don't get me wrong, I'll take it, but 3-1, only 13 boxing, he's gonna go down like a crack of shit. Like, if you've got tooled up or anything that gave you vaguely,
and once he's knocked down,
2-1, you're gonna be fighting off damage.
He's one of the ones where you're gonna be halfway through your influence stack and you're gonna be going, momentous push. I mean, let's play with the corpse a bit before.
How do I avoid killing him? Yeah. I could already like Grange, 3-1, he's got 27 health, but you can mow through Grange in no time, and he's got 2-inch melee, knocked down on 1, he's got all his great tools. He can give himself tough hide,
but with a bit of positioning you can go through him.
He don't take that much help to go through Grange, never mind like a little fucker like Runda. I'm sure there'll be great activations at some point, and there'll be their damage dealing potential come out eventually, but I'm not, like, with a rat catcher, when their shit with us now. I'll go in, they're going to have some horrific turns.
Yeah.
They've got a great team. And it was obvious to me, and to be fair, when the second they got played, I went, yeah, all have gone as expected. They're great at that, they're bad at this.
Yep.
With the Falconer, they've got shit that's really great, but the shit they're bad at, it's hard for me to kind of get through that, if you know what I mean, and go, the shit they are bad at, they really are bad at. And I get the feeling there are going to be a lot of people getting their first Falconer pack out, getting it on the table. I'm ready for the new jank. I'm ready for my super diviner role. There's some guy going to come in and go, bang, she's dead. And I'm like, oh, but I didn't even get to use death from above.
Yeah.
I only needed to wait 3 activations.
Shit, yeah. When you say it like that, it's like, fuck, yeah. She needs a 3 hit. Like, to get that magic 4 on world, you need the 3 parries, so you need 3 activations.
Yeah. Like, the way you'll keep her safe is by keeping her out there, but by default, you're not taking advantage of all your attacks. You're basically just sprinting. Like, the fact she can have 5 influence, it's obviously intended that she'll sprint, call for Elfian, and then spend 3, taking advantage of death from above. And it just might not always be viable. I think 9 times out of 10, people are going to really have middling activation cover. It won't show me if, 9 times out of 10, people go, I've got to activate her now just to keep her on the board.
Yeah.
Or keep her alive or take advantage of it.
One of them things where you're going, well, if I don't do it, I lose all that influence, so I need to activate now, even though it's not what I wanted.
You've got 5 influence waiting 3 turns just to go. It's a big hit to take. And in the meanwhile, and you've even got to factor in the randomness of the playbook. You've got to have Runder and Minerva have to get into the mix to get their best result. Unlike you'll want to pay for the Harrier. But in situations where you're paying for the Harrier, other people can probably still move. Really, you need them to lock a model down and go, right, we're on here. It's like I originally kind of said, I had an inkling that they go this way. The weaker support models will gang up, like Minerva Matagi and Runder will gang up on one model and do their shit on him, and then they'll put Harrier elsewhere where they can go, okay, those fucking over there are getting Harrier, then Divana comes in and go, boom,
yeah,
I'll take you out, and then you can get a couple of kills on the board. I can imagine really spectacular activations where you go through 3 models in a turn, not completely viable, but I also can easily imagine if I was playing into the Falcon again, I can imagine it, if you sat down and went, Ryan, I got the Falcon spot early, I'm just going to get him out, how about we have a bit of a tinker.
Yeah.
I can already feel it in my head going, I'd feel good about the matchup.
Yeah,
that's how, yeah. I think that's the thing, going like, ooh, they've got a bit of sick man syndrome. But if you sat down across from me and went, I've got a Falcon and here we go, I wouldn't be worried about the matchup. I'd go with the Hunters going, ooh, who should I kill for?
Cena's going to eat someone every turn.
Yeah, hard to keep Cena off you.
Yeah,
just that element of like Picker, if it worked for you, I'm going to start mowing people down in a minute.
But then we've had this. I think this is the first time where every guild's been released, because it's been that when we've seen cards for guild, new guilds, the immediate reaction from, well, Gubs certainly has been, oh my god, this is broken. And then after a couple of months, it's, oh no, it's not broken. It's just something new, and we now know how to play into it.
Yeah.
Whereas with these Falconers, apart from that Mega Divana activation, there hasn't been a whole lot of screaming and shouting. So I really think that these guys might actually need a bit of help.
Ikaruk is spectacular. I won't ever deny that. He's a fucking great model. Free jog with flying, great ability. Negate half the shit you can do to keep strikers out. But again, the fact he's so good immediately made me go, shit, do they actually need a model that good?
Yeah.
And I think the answer, for me right now, the answer is yeah. I haven't played against them yet, haven't played them myself. Could be a different thing when you're actually on the board, depending on the team. I think that's half the reason I want to give the Engineers another shot, give the Falcon. I like playing multiple teams. And when I'm playing fighting games a lot, I love playing almost everyone I could get my hands on. It helps mentally with the matchup going, I know how they play, yeah. I know how it feels to be behind these models.
And that's why I want to start getting behind the wheel of a few other guilds. We've just picked up the Alchemists, so I'm going to try playing the Alchemists for the first time in a bit.
Yeah. Like, I think you have a style of playing that you like going to. Like, you clearly love striking and footballing, which on most teams you can kind of put together a striking team. But yeah, playing them is a whole different world, and it gives you a valuable experience. I kind of love that. Like, when I'm playing against a Bruin player, for example, I have a hint of joy inside of me. I think last time I went to in Liverpool, my first 2 games were against Bruce player, and I just like, the first guy like going like, you don't know the fucking nightmare you're in for over my team. Like, I'm character play heavy, great, we all low arc defense, and yeah, I know you've got shit movement, and my thing is my fucker movement perfect.
Yeah,
just look, the look on face where I was playing to, after the game were done, and half in fucking every turn I'd pin someone and ruined, throwing influence out the window. I was going like, dude, I that's a terrible matchup, and I know it because I played them. If I were a bit more nervous about what they could do or what they could surprise me with, I was going like, I know what you can get away with. It's not that good of a model. Like, yeah, Hooper, I love that model. I think he's great. Bang, now we can use one.
Wow, he's awesome.
That thing about going, Tapper's over there. You sure you don't want to get Tapper? No. I know what Hooper can do. You think that little cheeky knockdown you set up was bigger? You thought you were going to cash in on that in a minute, did you? Nope.
Yeah.
None for you. I love Hooper. I think he's a great model, but...
I think that's where we're going to like make our next sort of step of improvement now. Sort of playing a wide variety of guilds, you know. I think one thing we kind of struggle with is our local meta is quite small. It's like maybe 4 players, so we aren't getting the range that some do. So we've kind of got to, like, fuck it, do it ourselves, you know.
Yeah, no harm in it, I think. I'm sorry, this has been quite a low energy episode, really.
It's just because Ryan's hungover as shit.
I'm daft shit. I can feel like I'm sweating, literally just.
We'll end your suffering now.
Yeah, don't. If you tuned in, to be fair, you deserve this. You know why. You should have. you should have known better when you came to hear me and Alex. But if you have tuned in, thank you. We have been a bit low energy. We're tired as shit. Up at 7 a.m. And yeah, I am fucking. I'm fucking half a bottle of whiskey in. I've got work, and I just.
Well, thank you very much for
tuning in.
We have been the firm, and we will continue to be firm next time when neither of us are hungover.
Yeah, when at least one. Maybe you should get hungover next time, and then we'll be able to.
Bye.